up, Open Floor Globe? I'm your host, Michael the Pod Pina, and I'm joined on the other line by my good friend, Sports Illustrated staff writer Rohan Nadkarni. Rohan, I texted you last night to let you know that on today's show, we would each be power ranking our 10 favorite shots from Jason Tatum's 51-point masterpiece in Washington. But instead, I've spared you that assignment, and I have a question that's more in line with the actual theme of today's show that I want to run by you. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So after the dust has settled and all the ballots are counted, how many All-Star votes do you think Grayson Allen will receive from his fellow players?
Is the Bucks, like, who's running the Bucks social media account? And why are
potentially
they
someone different now than 3 days ago?
Why are they intent on like team social accounts? Like I generally don't get involved anyway. And like, I like quote unquote, like offensive tweet. Like to me, we're not going to get in this discussion, but it's like, what does it really matter? Sometimes like there's definitely things that are in poor taste or whatever. And it's like, generally it doesn't matter. Like you can just ignore a tweet and your life will go mm-hmm. on. But the Bucks, for some reason, seem like intent on just like making people angry. Like they went after the Raptors weirdly, like a week or two ago, and like, the Shang-Chi was in their mentions. Simu Liu, like what's going on here? Like, they just start. I don't know what's going on there, but like, just team accounts. Like, take a breath. Just tweet out the score. Like, you know what's going on here.
I was not expecting that diversion. I gotta be honest.
The team accounts are just a little heavy handed with the masala these days, and it's like let's dial it down a bit.
So that's your Grayson Allen take, that Milwaukee Bucks social media needs to chill out.
Like what were they thinking when they tweeted? Like I guess the context, obviously, for people who don't know, is like the morning after he flagrant fouled Alex Caruso, they like tweeted a video of him. It was like, "Good morning, it's game day," and it's like Grayson Allen eating a donut. And was like, what are you gaining from this? Do you think Bucks fans even love Grayson Allen? Like, I don't think he's not like some hometown hero.
I was not expecting again to go into the social media portion of this type of conversation, but I don't, he wasn't a part of the championship winning team. I was at the White House when the Bucks went to the White House, because that's what you do when you win the title. Mm-hmm. And Grayson Allen was like sitting with family members in the crowd because he obviously wasn't a part of the team. And it makes total sense and is understandable. And I'm not like trying to make fun of him, but it was like kind of jarring to see that. And I was like, oh yeah, Grayson Allen's on this team.
And you were there to protest in defense of the filibuster, right?
That's exactly why I was there, and I failed miserably.
Yeah. You just happened to be there the same day. You were like, "What's this?"
but no. So like, I hope everyone is aware, but Grayson Allen fouled Alex Caruso on a pretty dirty play. Grayson Allen mm-hmm. has a history of fouling and tripping and doing all these sorts of things going back to his time at Duke.
And then just making a weird face after doing it. It's not like his history of both is like both doing the thing and then being really smug about it.
Yeah. Did you feel real quick, and then we'll get into today's show, I promise. Did you feel like the one game suspension was too lenient, too
much? It was
much?
Way too lenient. I didn't get it at all. Like, suspend the guy for a week. Even if you have to
even if
you have to do like half of it without pay and half of it with pay, like I absolutely think they gotta suspend him for longer than that. And especially after there was all this anticipation to what the suspension was gonna be. And you had multiple reporters being like, well, the NBA can take into account the injury. And it's like, ooh, like what are they gonna do here? And then it was like one game. It's like, what? You know, I don't know. I'm a little surprised it was only one game. Listen, I was surprised when Jokic, frankly, only got one game for that Markieff one. That Markieff Morris still has not played.
He's just out of the league.
Yeah. I thought that Allen's suspension absolutely should have been longer. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what goes into that. And I'm sure the union would have probably gotten involved if it had been too long or whatever. But one game, I was like, that's it after all that. But, you know, it is what it is.
I was kind of weirded out that the Bucks released a statement to be
that
like
that they disagreed with it. Yes. Why do the Bucks continue to try to piss people off? What are they incapable of reading the room? Did they think that was going to be cool? Did they think they were like, people are going to think it's like badass when we say we disagree with the decision? Like, what?
Yeah, it is weird. I personally find it hard to not like the Bucks just because of the players, most of the players on the team. Like, I love them. Love Giannis, love Chris Middleton, love Jrue Holiday, love Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis is like my favorite player of all time now after last year. But like, come on. Like, what are we doing?
How about
here? Like,
no statement?
Yes, no statement.
What about that required a statement?
It was ridiculous, and I think that we've made our point. Our opinions are clear on this, and we will not be releasing a statement. We will be releasing this podcast.
Exactly.
Okay, Rowan, so on today's episode, you and I will actually be picking our All-Star teams. And, you know, I might sprinkle in a few All-Star-related emails that were not shared with you ahead of time, so that'll be very fun. Before we get to it, a quick reminder to please keep your amazing emails coming to openfloormail@gmail.com. That's openfloormail@gmail.com. Okay, so Rohan, we have columns coming out this week on SI.com that cover our All-Star picks. And I am responsible for the Eastern Conference and you, the Western Conference. So I figured that it would be pretty cool to preview those pieces and kind of flesh them out a bit here. We'll do the Western Conference starters, then the Eastern Conference starters, then we'll bounce back to the West for reserves and finish out with my reserves in the East. Real quick, just letting everybody know how we did this. The starters are 3 front court and 2 back court players. The reserves are pretty much positionless, which is more or less how the coaches who actually decide these teams get to do it. So let's begin.
Can I say something before we start?
Yes, you may.
So you know how you said you are going to sprinkle in some emails that I may not have seen before. I didn't get to see beforehand.
Yes,
there's something that I've been wanting to say that I wanted to wait to tell you on the podcast.
Okay.
Because I had plenty of opportunities to tell you before. We've been texting about this. You texted me this morning. You were like, hey, Ro, like, quick cue. Are we doing position lists for the reserves? I've been doing some research. I just want you to know, and this is not a good or bad thing. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. Like, you care so much more about this than I do. I got to be honest. Every year, I could not care less who makes the All-Star team. I could not care less for the All-Star debates. Your column is going to be like 3,000 words long. Mine's going to be, I don't know, 500 maybe. I mean, I cannot stress enough how much more thought you put into this than I have. That's all I got to say.
I'm glad that this has been admitted and, you know, my passion is getting rewarded and credit slash I'm just wasting my life watching footage of, Jrue Holiday getting defensive stops in isolation situations versus
there's nothing
Jimmy
wrong
Butler
with, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just think that just to then be like demanding this guy's left on or off this fake team. Sure. You know, but hey.
It's a real team, though. That's the thing. Yeah. It matters. Sure.
It's really real, Mike. You're right. I'm sorry.
It's all very real. Okay, so let's start in the West. I think the Western Conference starters are pretty straightforward, but let's see if we're on the same page here. Who do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's these guys are pretty much locks. I think there's one player who you could argue just kind of based on position stuff. Maybe you leave out, but my Western Conference starters are Stephen Curry, Ja Morant, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, and Rudy Gobert.
Okay. Maybe straightforward wasn't the right word to use there, because I do think that first of all, 4 of them are straightforward, and I agree with you. Ja, Steph, Jokic, and LeBron, all worthy starters. I think Rudy Gobert is excellent.
Immediately, here we go. You have thoughts.
I think Rudy's excellent.
Tell you who I think you're going to pick for this other spot that I have on my team? It was between him and Karl Towns.
Okay, yes. Then we're pretty much on the same page. Yeah. Carl would be who I would pick in that spot. And I don't begrudge you for picking Rudy. They're like kind of like the exact opposites of, mm-hmm. of big men. One is like supremely skilled and is, you know, his true shooting is like 64 or whatever. And he's just coming off pin downs, hitting threes.
I mean, he's still over 40% from three, right? Carl Towns.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
It's nuts.
Arguably, or maybe obviously, the greatest shooting seven-footer of all time. I guess you could... There's some other names you could throw in there, but statistically, he's certainly up there. And then you have Rudy Gobert, who's, you know, a perennial defensive player of the year candidate slash winner. And that's not Towns' strength. And right. Towns has made strides this year,
but... It just came down to... You know, I know the Jazz have had some struggles lately. I think that was in large part because Gobert missed time. I think they're one of the best teams in the league. They're one of the best teams in the league when he's on the floor. And, you know, the Wolves have had success this year. They've had their own guys in and out of the lineup a little bit. But, yeah, that to me is the tiebreaker for me in this scenario is who's on the better team. And, obviously, I mean, Gobert, you know, there was a brief stretch during the season where I think some people maybe even were having their MVP ballots, et cetera. You mentioned, I think he's going to be first or second in defensive player of the year. It's hard to leave a guy like that off. If I would have left him off, it would have been because you kind of have two centers on the team, but you know, it's not forward center, it's three front court. So those are my starters. I got Gobert, Jokic, LeBron, Steph, and Ja. Steph, it's getting interesting though. It's getting a little interesting.
I'm really still glad like that 26, you just said that.
5-5, but yeah.
I'm glad you said that. I don't think he's a lock. I mean, I think he's going to make it because the fans.
Well, the voting. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going to make it. But in terms of just like, you know, us trying to figure out who is the best and had the best first half, I think you can make an argument for someone like Chris Paul in that
Donovan
spot.
Donovan
Mitchell's played really well. He has a concussion right now, which is going to hurt his case, mm-hmm. you know, for a variety of reasons. But the team's offense, and I think a lot of it is Draymond Green's absence, has not been great, and Steph has not been, you know, as excellent as he needs to be offensively.
I mean, it's going on, what, like 6 weeks now? It's been quite a while. I don't know in the exact – I'm sure, you know, the Light Years podcast has charted the dip exactly, but it's been a little while now.
Right, and he's – down to 37.6% from behind the three-point line on like 13 attempts per game, which, I mean, there's so many guys around the league who would just murder someone for those stats.
What's his three-point percentage?
37.6%.
Okay. Which, I mean, listen, Duncan Robinson's catching up, so.
There's a lot of guys in front of him, but yeah. I mean, he's taking 13 and a bunch
I
of
mean,
them are
is,
off the bounce.
It is also nuts how that percentage like 4 years ago you would have been like that's insane, and now it's like you've multiple people shooting over 40%. It's getting out of hand.
Yeah, it's by far the worst of his career, which I mean we're talking about the standard here is the greatest shooter who ever lived, and you know he can wouldn't be crazy to see him go on this ridiculous hot streak because that's what Steph Curry does. But I do think that you mentioned Donovan. I think like, frankly, and we'll get into this a little more deeply later on, but like Luka is coming on mm-hmm. real strong right now.
He is. I mean, the Mavs are really basketball. Coming on strong. Yeah.
So that's going to be, did you like hesitate at all when you were, you know, jotting the names down with Steph, or was it just,
I think that he's done enough over the course of the season, right? Because at the end of the day, you're still looking at the totality of his first half, and I still think he's been great. And they're also one of the best teams in the league. But I think it's worth bringing up that it's not, you know, if this happened a month ago, he would have been in a much stronger lock than it is now. So I wouldn't say I hesitated, but it's worth, you know, having a little note.
Fair enough. Okay, so I'm going to give you my starters now.
Okay.
And
Smart, Tatum, Brown, Rob, Grant.
Rob, well, you missed. Yeah, okay, you got both Williams in there. I was just trying to make sure you didn't slate anybody.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so in the backcourt, I have DeMar DeRozan and Trae Young. Mm-hmm. In the front court, I have Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Kevin Durant. And the media, I'm fortunate enough to have a vote and submitted my ballot. So this is those five players are actually who I submitted. And I think that there's, first of all, do you have any issue with any of those?
I don't have an issue with your ballot, but I have an issue with DeRozan being listed as a guard, which we've discussed before in this podcast. And is he not listed? Is he listed in both? Am I crazy? Was he listed in both or was he just listed as a guard?
I believe he's only listed as a guard. You gotta, hey man, you know, these are just the parameters of the world we live in. I understand that they're like kind of dumb.
How often were they playing LaVine, Ball, Caruso, DeRozan and Vooch together? That was one of their highest usage lineups until everyone started getting COVID and everyone got hurt. I don't want to start taking away from your ballot, but that to me sounds pretty.
But I will say, you know, Dwayne, sometimes I think about this thing that Dwayne Casey said, which is in the era of positionless basketball, your position is who you defend. And so why isn't Alex Caruso the four in these conversations?
Or that is a great quote. I mean, DeRozan does guard up too, especially now.
I'm not even trying to defend the NBA here. Right. I'm sorry. I mean, like, it's
the Caruso
stupid
thing is mostly out of like desperation and lack of, it speaks more to who else they have to throw it, Giannis or whoever.
Yes.
And that's saying as someone who loves Caruso. But yes, I think that's a great starting five. I think that's who should represent. I do think with Trae, and this is separate from a text war that Mike and I have been having.
You know,
I'm over Trae for a long time.
I'm very glad that you're bringing this up because I didn't want to. I mean, you were throwing me under the bus with text messages that I thought were private earlier in this episode.
That's true.
So I wasn't gonna bring up the Trae Young text.
But this is separate from the Trae Young text, which will remain private for now. But do you have any qualms? I mean, they've won four in a row. They're looking better. I think, frankly, a lot of that also has to do with DeAndre Hunter is so good and just kind of puts everyone in their place. Did you have any qualms about putting someone in from a team that had been largely playing so poorly for most of the season?
You know, if the Hawks... Like Trae, his second year, he starts in the All-Star game averaging pretty much the same numbers that he did now, except his three-point percentage was a little bit lower. The Hawks were terrible, and people were outraged by this. And I think that, honestly, I'm not that concerned or thinking too deeply about their struggles this season because of what happened last season. Maybe I'm wrong for doing that, but I still feel like they are much better than their record suggests. And, you know, his defense is a big reason why they've struggled, for sure. But they have the second best offense in the NBA. And ultimately, when he's on the floor, they're better than when he's off, like significantly. So you throw that in with all the, you know, the health and safety protocols, the injuries that they've had to so many key players mm-hmm. throughout the season. And I just don't pin it on Trae. Like, I think he's proven that when push comes to shove, he's a winning player. Shout out to our colleague Jeremy Wu, who was in those text threads, and I will throw him under the bus. He does not think that Trae is a winning player. I do, and I look at his numbers, I look at his impact. He's just been phenomenal. Like, he's a phenomenal basketball player, and he makes everyone around him so much better. He's one of the two or three best passers in the league. His pull-up three is finally kind of catching up to his reputation. He's broadened his skill set into the mid-range. His floater is his floater. So, like, offensively, I just think he's like, there's like four or five guys who are harder to game plan to mm-hmm. stop than he is. And it was kind of easy for me to put him in here.
All right. Yeah, that was my, I think you made a great case. I'm not going to argue. That was just my one question. If I had to say anything. So Well, I think those would be the same.
Okay, so who is there a name that you have off the top of your head where you're like, you know, I think that this player from a winning team is more deserving.
I think you could make a case for Zach LaVine.
That's not the name I was expecting. Okay. What's the case?
I mean, the Bulls, up until their very recent injury troubles, were, I think, like, wire to wire the number one seed in the East for much of the season. Not wire to wire. I mean, they were close with Brooklyn. It was a little bit back and forth. But, I mean, if the counting stats are right up there, I don't think that he's been quite as impactful as DeRozan, certainly. But that would have been one. Like I said, I winning goes a lot further than me, for me, maybe than most people, in these scenarios. And I don't think it's like I ascribe to the theory that's like, oh, sometimes you should just put two guys from the best team or whatever the case may be. And I think LaVine, obviously, still, I'm a very good chance to make the team. I'm going to maybe guess that he's on yours, but. Yeah, I just think that he's been one of the best players on the best teams. He's at 25-5-4-ish right now. So, mm-hmm. You know, those are certainly all-star-worthy numbers.
For sure. Yeah, I like Zach LaVine a lot.
Yeah.
The difference between the two, for me, has always been the playmaking.
Right,
and
right.
Like, if you and were the, to swap and these
the,
two you know, guys.
The burden for Trey is way higher. The pressure on him is a lot higher. Right.
DeRozan is his teammate, and he's going to start in the All-Star game. Right. Trey has no one like that, save, you know, hopefully DeAndre Hunter kind of blossoms here. But he doesn't have anything close to that on his team. Okay, so everything else was pretty straightforward for you.
I mean, Giannis, KD are obvious. Those guys have to be on there.
Embiid?
Yeah, Embiid, of course. Mm-hmm. Embiid's been nuts, man, which I've been saying on this podcast all season long, and I'll say it again.
Is Embiid first right now in the MVP discussion? No, has he got there for you?
No. And I know that you're a big recency bias guy, and you love to get swept up in the moment, and you have eight people.
This moment is like a month long.
You have like eight people winning MVP, and you have 12 teams making the conference finals.
That's how we do it.
I think Embiid is definitely in the top five. I think he's probably had a KD at this point. But he's still, I mean, I think Giannis, Steph's also, I think, dropped. But I think right now it's Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic are probably in some more of the top three.
Okay. The Sixers case is interesting, or Embiid's case with the Sixers is interesting real quick, just because he is far and away the best player on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's the Ben Simmons situation. And the Sixers, they're in the sixth seed right now, and they're like two games.
They're close, yeah.
They're like two back in the loss column of your first place Miami Heat right now. And, you know, there's a lot of basketball left to be played. And I just think, like, if he continues to play as he's playing and the Sixers get a top three seed, it'll be really hard to be like, you know, I don't think Embiid is the MVP.
What we need to do for the good of basketball, for the good of the MVP award, Embiid and Jokic got to switch teams for 2 weeks. we need to see it happen. I mean, what would happen? We need to see it.
I'm this is not to take anything away from Jokic, who is phenomenal. But like, I just know how the voting works with these things and like how voters think. And
I'm not disagreeing with you. Yes. I agree.
Like the Nuggets aren't going to be top three. Yeah. That's just not going to happen. So,
I mean, we'll see if Jamal really does come back around the All-Star break. We'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think they get to top three, but if you get the four seed somehow, which I guess also not really likely, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But no, Embiid's having a monster year. I mean, that's why they got to trade Simmons. It's getting absurd. My homie JJ Redick agrees. They can't waste this year of Embiid. They cannot.
My homie JJ Redick.
Yes.
Okay. Shelby, we're gonna have to cut that out and play it repeatedly from now on every episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you want to now tell me your reserves, Rohan?
Yes, I do. I mean, this is probably where the real fun starts, right? I have a few guys who are, I think I have five locks, four and a half, 4.5 locks. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So remember, Steph, Ja, LeBron, Jokic, and Gobert were my starters, just as a refresher. In no particular order, these are the players who I think have to make it.
Okay.
Donovan Mitchell, Christopher Emmanuel Paul, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, and Karl Towns are my next five that I think they got to be on there.
Okay.
Right. So this is what I did. I picked two guys who I think should be on the team, but I think are probably not going to make it because of injury. Okay.
Is one of them Anthony Davis?
No.
Oh, okay. Go on.
AD for All-Star? What?
Hey, you know, I'm just, you said injury and I was like, okay.
How many games has he even played in? No.
I don't know. But
okay. One of them's Draymond one of them's Draymond Green, who's out indefinitely right now.
Yeah.
And then this is the last one. And this one was really hard for me. Because there's your guy, DeJounte Murray, who I think is deserving. But once again, it worries me a little bit how bad the Spurs have been. I believe they've also lost five in a row now. I think Paul George has a really good case for the last spot, but he's also injured and not going to make it.
You got to let go of the Paul George thing.
I won't. He's a fantastic defender. That team's still top 10 in defense. And he was their best defensive player when he was playing. And the counting stats are right there. We just had, LaVine at 24-5-5. I know George doesn't have the efficiency, but, I mean, he's still at, 25-7-5? I mean, I don't know how we're just ignoring him entirely. I mean, again, the efficiency is not there, but you expect that's going to take a hit with all the injury issues they've had. And then he was also playing with a bad elbow.
Okay, so how many games has Paul George played? Do you want me to answer that? Because you don't know.
He's played 26.
Okay, so how many games has Anthony Davis played?
How many has he played? I have no idea.
27. So I mean,
Anthony Davis was also not good.
Well, chill. Like, come on. Russell Westbrook has not been good. Anthony Davis has been pretty good in those.
Been underwhelming. Anthony Davis has been underwhelming.
A victim of his own incredibly high expectations for himself. But, like, relative to everybody else, he's perfectly fine. And I think in the conversation for an All-Star appearance, but won't get there because of the game. So that kind of,
I don't think he's going to make the team.
Okay.
And anyway.
So who are the other two you're picking?
If you'd let me get there. Anyway, assuming Draymond and Paul George cannot make it, I'm going to go with DeJounte Murray as one of my picks. And then this one, I'm going to be honest, I got a little romantic. I know it's going to make you mad because you're going to hit me with 12 stats in a row that, frankly, I'm just not going to care about.
Okay.
But I'm going to, instead of Draymond, I'm going to send Andrew Wiggins.
Okay, just ridiculous, but okay. Like,
that one was just engineered to make you angry.
It doesn't make me angry. It's just like, I don't, okay. Actually, you know what? This is a perfect time. We got an email.
It doesn't make me angry.
but I'm speechless.
He's so upset.
I have this email now that I want to read because it's. I'm glad that you picked Wiggins because it allows us to do this. So this email comes in from Nathan, who writes, "My friend and I were talking about All-Star voting and the wings in the Western Conference. Eventually, it got to a comparison between Mikal Bridges and Andrew Wiggins. I thought it was an interesting discussion. Personally, I like Mikal's defense and efficiency more. However, Wiggins' heavier offensive load and improved defense has boosted his approval rating across the board. Who do y'all think is more valuable to their team this year and going forward, Wiggins or Bridges?" So thank you
for
that email, Nathan. Yes, a great question. Very fascinating because of the roles that these two are asked to play on their respective teams, arguably the two best teams in the Western Conference. You know, it's fascinating because Mikal Bridges, his like he's so consistently wonderful in the role he's asked to play. And he doesn't even cross my mind for this exercise.
He is the perfect third best player on a team. Third or fourth. I mean, they have eight.
Third or fourth, yes.
But he is, I mean, this reminds me of what Chris Herring wrote before the season about Russell Westbrook. And he was basically like, you can't have a ball dominant third option. It just doesn't work. You need someone who can shoot. And Mikal Bridges would be, I mean, he would be great on every team in the league, but especially a team that has a couple stars, or in Phoenix's case, two ball dominant scorers, guys who need the ball in their hands. You could not ask for a more perfect person to slide in next to them than Mikal Bridges. The Wiggins thing is interesting because the Warriors, the way they like to run their offense, the way they like to run their system, they're asking Wiggins to do a lot more. Now, whether they should or should not be is up for debate. I mean, Wiggins has been one of the best catch-and-shoot shooters in the league. I'll say that.
Which is
a huge development for him. I mean, the knock on him for years was he's never going to shoot threes well enough, et cetera. Now he's turned into knockdown catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. So that's big. But who is more valued to their team? It's just they play, even though they're kind of – slotted similarly in the hierarchy on their teams, they're still asked to play such different roles. I don't know. That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
So, I mean, I know that Wiggins is, what is he, third now with like 2.6 million votes, which is just like, it is honestly, I have no understanding of what this is. As Tom Ziller explained on his Substack, which everyone should subscribe to, when you go to the NBA.com's kind of voting page, Wiggins pops up really quick, and he's just easier to spot and to vote for than someone like Draymond Green, who you have to kind of scroll down and before you see his face. So I don't know if that's the explanation full on, or if people love counting stats, if people love reclamation stories and all that.
I mean, it's a combination. He's got narrative.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I kind of picked him to make you mad. I think the case is also, you know, he plays for a great team. He's been important to their success, et cetera. So I can see why it happened. But yeah.
Yeah. So
it's interesting. Well, tell me, I'm curious though, in all seriousness now, who are, not to get away from that email, which was a really good email, but who are your, that's the thing is, so I like Donovan, Chris Paul, Booker, Doncic, Towns, Draymond. Do you like DeJounte for that last spot? Who's your last all-star? Unless you disagree with one of those first six that I picked.
I mean, it's really interesting. When I was going through this, and you called me out earlier, but I was trying to fit players into three front court, two back court, two wild card, and I was really strict about it. And honestly, I was like,
"But I've never heard about the reserves being limited to any kind of position thing. I just assumed that it was going to be positionless."
Yeah, you would be correct. I guess it changed a few years ago, was brought to my attention. But I was trying to find like a third.
It used to be like front court, back court, and wild card or whatever, right?
Right.
Okay.
So I was trying to find the third front court player, and these are some of the names that were populating, and I was like, I can't do this. Like, what is happening? You had, well, Wiggins, who I was just like, no. Brandon Ingram. Kristaps Porzingis.
I think Ingram has a sneaky case. Porzingis has been, it's
probably these are just like the honorable mention types, though. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, this is not all, these are not all-star seasons. Like, so it was, that was just really tough. And then I was like, okay, if I can put Luka, if we're doing positionless, then Luka is not a backcourt player and whatever, and we can kind of fudge things a little bit. And in that case, DeJounte Murray, yeah, I think he is an all-star. I think that, you know, I wrote about this on our site for Power Rankings this week, where I listed a player from each team to watch in the second half of the season. And I went pretty deep on Dejounte, who is just like all around. I don't know how many players are better at the position right now, frankly, like doing what a point guard's supposed to do. He's like third or fourth in assists. He does not turn the ball over. He's super measured in his decision making. He's averaging 19 points per game. He's finishing at the basket so much better than he did over the past two seasons, which was a big weak point. The three-point shooting is just still not there. But and I think that that really hurts him because people look at true shooting and they're like, oh, gross. They look at the Spurs record and they're like, disgusting. But when he's on the floor, they're just so much better. And that's not like a lot of things go into on-off numbers. I think when you watch the Spurs play, the way he calms them down, the way he gets everybody into the right spots, it's not a, like a mistake. Defensively, he's just a total menace. When he steals the ball too, there's like this inevitability about it where it's just like he just takes the ball from NBA players. There's no, it's like when he gets like two real steals a game, if that makes any sense.
Right.
And I just enjoy watching him play more than almost anybody in the whole league. And
what about he's just an all-star. Can I counter with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or no case for you?
This brings us to the second email of today's show. It comes in from Rui, who writes, I write to you right after watching a surprisingly entertaining basketball game between two of the most compelling yet young NBA teams, the Thunder and the Cavaliers. Jared Allen is Clint Capella with a low post game and without the injuries. Darius Garland has the potential to be Mike Conley 2.0, and Evan Mobley has a shot to be a future MVP. And yet, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gave them a fair fight. My hot take is that SGA is a top 20 player in the NBA, and he won't be considered for the All-Star game because he's on a young, really bad team. Is it really a hot take? So thank you, Rui. Awesome email. I love SGA, and
one of my favorite players. I'm not quite ready
super
to go
fun
top
to watch.
20, but he's great.
20 is high. 20 is high. His team is still, you know, I think that there are degrees to, honestly, I don't even know how to parse like bad Spurs from bad Thunder. If that like for some reason, I'm more in line to punish, not punish, but like disparage. That's also a bad word to use here. I look at SGA and I'm like, yes, some of his numbers are just, a guy who is forced to score, who has the ball in his hands a ton on a really crummy team. And DeJounte is out here making a lot of winning plays that don't have anything to do with scoring.
I will say that I think Shai does the same thing. And, you know, if you read local Thunder coverage, shout out to Joe Musato, you know, they'll tell you, oh, Shai set up Josh Giddey for this late bucket, or, you know, he didn't necessarily need the last shot here or whatever. I know what you're saying. DeJounte's great, and the assist numbers are there. The playmaking is there. I do think that Shai does that. I mean, they're both obviously on bad teams.
Yeah. I think that Shai's three-point percentage also, you know, I know I just said that thing about DeJounte, but his is even lower than DeJounte's. He's only making 28% of his threes after making 42% last season.
It is a weird – I mean, he's always been a good shooter, so the drop there has been weird.
Right, and also a significant drop in his two-point percentage. So, you know, if like last year I thought it was a really sneaky – he was a sneaky candidate to be an all-star if you wanted to get cute with it. Yeah. But this year I'm just like he's just – you know, he's got to be better in a lot of different ways before we give it to him. So I'd say that he is an honorable mention. And also Anthony Edwards is an honorable mention. I wanted to shout him out because he's way ahead of schedule. He's terrifying. He's going to like take over the NBA in 3 years. I hope people are ready for that. He's so much fun. So shout out to Anthony Edwards, who's not quite an all-star yet. Okay. So, you know, I had Draymond in as my reserve, as a reserve, despite the injury that he's suffered.
You can't leave impact off Draymond.
No, I think he's like, if we're not putting him as an all-star, then what are we even doing? Like when he was on the floor, when he was healthy for a significant part of the season, he was like one of the most dominant players in basketball. So he's an all-star. And then, I have DeJounte, but everybody else I have as well, with Rudy as my reserve as opposed to Kat. Yeah. So I think you we're pretty much started, in line there. Yeah.
Yeah. The West, I think, is probably a little bit easier this year than the East. I don't think there's a ton of – it really is that last spot and a half, really. I think that it'll be interesting to see, I guess, maybe if there end up being injury replacements, who the coaches end up going with. But I think the West was actually pretty straightforward this year.
No, did you consider Russell Westbrook or Talen Horton Tucker or Austin Reeves? No?
Well, I just – you know, I'm worried that Talen Horton Tucker is going to end up in the – the East somehow when the Lakers trade him for like Ben Simmons or someone like that. So I didn't want to, you know, ruin it. And then we'd have to re-record the podcast and do it all over again. So, but yeah.
How would you respond emotionally if the Miami Heat traded like Strus and Gabe Vincent for Talen Horton Tucker? Just like what would happen in your brain?
Oh my God. I mean, I don't even want to think about that reality. Listen, the Heat got enough problems with their current players who have trouble shooting. I'll just leave it like that. They don't need to go ahead and go get someone else's player who doesn't shoot very well.
Glorious. Okay, so let's shift. Speaking of the Heat, let's shift to the Eastern Conference reserves.
Yeah, this this is where the money of this podcast gets made right here.
I have, you know, as I'm wont to do, I have a bunch of honorable mentions. This was really tough, I got to be honest. And there's also at the same time a chance that you and I have the same seven. There's a chance.
Was I supposed to pick some also?
You are you don't have to write them down in spirit. You can have your seven selections tell me how this fits. Great. So I'm just going to read my seven names off. James Harden, mm-hmm. Fred VanVleet, mm-hmm. Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Jared Allen, Zach LaVine, and your boy Jimmy Butler. Those are my seven. Now,
so you don't have Darius Garland right now.
I don't.
Okay. Tell me that again. Tell me, I'm going to give me your, I need to, let me write it down. I'm not joking.
Okay, I had Harden, Freddie All-Star.
Right, okay.
My boy Tatum. I had Drew Holiday, Jared Allen as the Cleveland Cavaliers representative. Okay. I think that they should only have one representative. Okay. Zach LaVine and Jimmy Buckets.
Okay.
And the honorable mentions, I mean... Well, let me just say, like, of the seven names that I mentioned, are any like egregious to you?
Get to your honorable mentions first, and then we'll discuss.
Okay. So I had, and some, you know, these are just like some names that I'm just going to throw out there. Sabonis, who is like wrecking people every night.
He had a slow start. And it felt like all of a sudden Rick Carlisle was like, I'm actually going to give him the ball again and let him stop shooting threes. And he's been wrecking.
He's truly destroying everyone. Like his so field goal percentage in the restricted area is like 77
or something. He does not get enough credit for actually being an incredibly physical player in the post. And is like really good at banging with other big guys in like on the block. Like he will move people out of the way. And it's really impressive.
Yeah. So shout out to him. That was a tough one. And, you know, as I don't even know if I'm going to, by the time I write my column, if that's going to hold. Wow. But right now, that's how it is. So bonus, I have Chris Middleton as another honorable mention. Jaylen Brown as an honorable mention. Garland, who you mentioned, is an honorable mention. And then Bradley Beal, who is just like, you know, doing Bradley Beal things, sort of, you know, not as efficient. The three ball just hasn't fallen from this year. The team has kind of fallen off a little bit after a really hot start. And he's, you know, he has his moments, but he's just not even close to as effective as the guy who was like leading the league in scoring or coming close to leading the league in scoring the past two seasons. So those are like my big honorable. I mean, you could pick someone from Charlotte, maybe like LaMelo Ball might be an honorable mention. But besides that, like Bam has been hurt and he's missed too many games. Agreed. I love Bam, obviously. Could Kyle Lowry might be an honorable mention? I don't know. I mean, I want to shout out the Heat.
Kyle Lowry is an interesting one because if you look at his stats, they're not all that far off from Chris Paul. And I think he's been the most important player on the team this year just because of how many games he's played. Jimmy's missed a lot more time than him, although Lowry's been out for the last few games because of personal reasons. Like Lowry and Chris Paul are shockingly close in counting stats, but I think Chris Paul has been a better player this year. Yeah. But I think Lowry's good in honorable mentions.
Okay, yeah. So I'm actually surprised to hear you say that, but yeah. So are there any names who
I think the big one
egregious might be a little strong, but names.
There's nothing egregious. I think that you could make an argument for Garland over Holiday is probably the one I would maybe argue with.
Okay, what's the case?
I think the degree of difficulty, their stats are actually pretty similar. Garland's averages a little bit more points. Drew obviously is, you know, one of the better defenders in the league. His three-point shooting has been really good this season. Garland, I think, has to carry a much higher burden for his team than Drew Holiday does. I mean, Drew Holiday plays with arguably the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me would be my, I mean, I'm the person who's been saying this whole time that winning is kind of a tiebreaker here. And the Bucks are obviously one of the best teams in the league, especially when their guys are healthy. But, and I understand it seems kind of crazy to give the Cavs two All-Stars at the same time. They've had the best net rating in the East for a huge chunk of this season.
Yeah, they're great.
And, I'm kind of just playing devil's advocate more than saying I think you made a wrong choice, because I think Drew is an all-star caliber player and it's fantastic and I love him. And I was like blessed enough to be at the NBA Finals when he made that steal on Devin Booker. And it was just one of the most exciting and incredible plays I've ever seen in my life. Shout out to Drew Holiday.
Was that when you were complaining about the Suns, the heat in Phoenix? Was that like in the midst of that?
Bro, it was so hot. It was so hot. I was drinking Dasani. That's how hot it was. This is not an ad because it sucks. It's a bad product. Shout out to Fry's. We would walk to like the convenience store and just buy 2 gallons of water. There was one day where I drank an entire gallon of water before noon, just to prepare for how dehydrated I was going to be walking out of my hotel room and being in the sun for even 5 minutes. But anyway, I think that would be my argument for Garland, is I think he's doing it with a higher degree of difficulty than Drew Holiday is.
So
on a team that's also been really good.
Yeah. What I would say is, why are you – and like Garland is tough. Garland was probably, I know I said his name after Chris Middleton, but like Garland is a tougher cut from this than Chris Middleton is. And a tougher cut than Jaylen Brown is for sure. But why are you trying to take, like, why was Drew Holiday the guy who you were potentially trying to swap out as opposed to someone who's a little more, similar in skill set like Zach LaVine?
So here's where it came down to. I think Harden is a lock. I think Jimmy should be on it. Although Jimmy, I mean, if he's missed enough games, I think there's an argument. I think Tatum should be on it. LaVine, I mean, I was briefly arguing LaVine as a starter at the beginning of this pod, and I think LaVine, it goes back to the points, not to harp on scoring, but I mean, that's the hardest part of the game, right? And he's been on the team that was first in the East for such a long time that it was hard for me to leave him off. I mean, you could really argue Jared Allen, but I think we're both like huge Jared Allen fans.
This is a Jared Allen is like a like he might not make it. I understand that.
Yeah.
He's like it's like a principle here. Like,
yes. Yes.
I just
if that you're that guy, good on that, defense, yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, that type and of player never gets love.
Yes. Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, I was gonna say like the Suns have had a lot of success, seemingly whoever they started at center this year. But like DeAndre Ayton is having a hell of a season when he's healthy.
Sure.
And he's not going to really get any all-star consideration, but he's been great. So to me, it just came down to, frankly, I think it came down to like Drew plays with the MVP. And that's not to take away how great him and Middleton are, which is like a rap that they get that's a little unfair. We saw what they did in the playoffs last year. They each had their moments during that run. They don't win it without those guys, certainly. And we saw how big of an upgrade it was to go from someone like Bledsoe to Drew Holiday. So it was less about where Drew is and more about I couldn't leave. I just don't think you can leave LaVine off with how good the Bulls have been. Harden is Harden. Van Vliet's nuts, man. I know he's
Van Vliet's
not
a lock. Van Vliet is
know,
a lock.
I know that Van Vliet is like not better than a lot of guys in the league, but there's also a ton of guys who are quote unquote better that I would take him over if I'm starting my team just because of just how cool he is. He's just a cool guy, great vibes. And he just has like an effortlessness, a coolness to his game that it's hard to quantify, but I mean, we saw what he did in the playoffs. Like I love Fred VanVleet. So and that yeah, it just comes down to like personal preference, I guess. And I love Drew Holiday, but if I'm being like in a position to argue, which is kind of the nature of podcasts, I guess, I would maybe argue Garland over Drew, but I'm not banging the table for it.
So real quick, because I just looked this up while we were recording, I'm going to be honest. Drew Holiday's net rating when he's on the floor without Giannis, and this is in 36 games, 15 and a half minutes per game. His net rating is 6.8. Without
Giannis.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
So that's like the only teams that have a better net rating than that are the Suns, the Warriors, and the Jazz.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, listen, they have a good team. They have also have Middleton. I mean, they have Grayson Allen.
Bringing it full circle, baby.
Yeah. They have a good team. They have a good team. But no, that's a good stat. That's a good stat.
I wonder if any media members will vote for Grayson Allen. Because we don't, the actual people who vote, they don't release like whose name is attached to what players. And I do wonder just like, because we get some funky stuff with the media over the years. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that foul happened after that the ballots were due. But it would be, I would not put it past someone in this illustrious
some
field.
Some Bucks radio guy, yeah, to just be like. Yeah. After the witch
just a
hunt,
protest vote.
After the witch hunt, the silencing, putting the last nail in his cancel culture casket.
Exactly.
He gets beautiful a vote. Stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, there was no Tatum pushback from you. No, no PJ Tucker over Jason Tatum. I'm proud of you for that.
I mean, PJ Tucker is leading the league in 3-point percentage, is a world champion, which Jason Tatum is not. And his, his floater is just angelic. I mean, he puts babies to sleep every time he takes a floater. That's how soft and pillowy and beautiful it is. So please put some respect on Pops John. I think that's what it is. Yes, please put some respect on PJ Tucker. You take that back. I'm going to push back on you putting Jaylen Brown in honorable mention.
Oh my God!
That was
stop
a heat
it.
Check. That was a heat
stop
check.
Stop it!
Carry
stop
the hell
it.
Off. That was a heat check. Carry the hell off.
Just stop it.
I just want everyone to know my new bit. Every time I text Mike about if Jaylen Brown shoots under 50%, I just text Mike, "What did Jaylen Brown shoot tonight? Carry the hell on." It's an outstanding bit. I don't care what anyone says. It's a good bit. Shout out to Celtics blog. who's going to say they want to punch me in the face again. But just if you ever have the opportunity to text Mike, Jaylen Brown, 5 for 17, carry the hell on. I advise you to do it.
Yes. Shout out to everyone. And if you have the opportunity to text Mike, do not text Mike that. That would be terrific.
No pushback on Tatum, whose stats are absurd. His efficiency is not great this season, though.
It's not been a great year for him.
26, 9-4. I mean, it's kind of hard to leave that guy off.
And he just plays. Like, like he doesn't miss time, plays a ton of minutes every game.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I love Fred also.
Yes.
Leads the league in minutes. When he's on the floor, they're great. When he's off, they stink. Like, Nick Nurse is just like, please. Like, he's running him ragged for a reason. He has to. He's amazing.
You would really put Jaylen Brown in over Tyler Hero?
I would, and I would not think twice about it.
Okay.
is Tyler Hero, are you trying to throw him into the honorable mention discussion?
No, I'm not. I said in my awards column he had a very fringe all-star case, but I don't even think that's true anymore.
Fringe, yeah.
Yeah.
Extremely.
There's fringe. Like a Reddit community dedicated to it, like that level of fringe, like petitioning the NBA to put him back on the ballot.
Okay. So, Rohan, do you have any other all-star thoughts before we close out this episode?
Just that if you think you're going to see me there that weekend, it's going to be very hard for me to leave Los Angeles for Cleveland in February.
Who was that directed towards?
I don't know.
A lot of our listeners
know.
Are not going to Cleveland.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You never know. I don't really have any all-star thoughts other than, you know, last year the game was obviously played, I think, it was very obvious most players did not want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see hopefully a little bit more normal all-star game. In the first year they used the quote-unquote Elam ending, it was fantastic. So I hope we get another game similar to that. I just say quote-unquote because I don't know if the NBA likes calling it the Elam ending or what they're calling it or whatever. But
can call it whatever you want.
That's true. That's true. I hope it's a fun game. I also want to say, like, the people who complain when it's, like, it's the first quarter and there's, like, 8 dunks in a row and it's, like, sure enough, some NBA writer is going to be like, oh, no defense, like 8 dunks in a row. Nobody's even trying. Please relax, okay? This happens every year where they don't try in the first quarter. And then if it's close enough in the fourth, the juices get flowing and we get some good moments. But, yeah, I think that these teams are good. And I think this is a cool mix of hopefully we get some fresh faces in there, but also the guys we all want to see play.
It's truly impressive how you started this episode at the all-star game and all-star participants do not matter to
they don't matter
criticizing
to me.
People who criticize the game.
They don't matter to me personally, but I'm also not out here like getting upset about it online, certainly. I don't get upset about the quality of the All-Star game, okay? That's absurd. I'm sorry.
I agree. Those people need help, and there's a few off the top of my head that I'm going to shout out if they act up this year. They're getting shouted out on the pod because I've had enough as well. It's ridiculous. Have some fun. Lighten up.
Yeah.
It's for the kids.
Oh, right. Oh, no, man. I had to watch 8 slam dunks in a row. What a terrible – good Lord.
All right. So that'll do it for today's show. Rohan, thank you so much. This was a real pleasure. Thank you so much to our listeners. Thank you so much to Shelby, our producer. We will be hitting you back either later this week or next week with the Rip City Royston Report. Don't worry.
Shelby still have his kneecaps, or have they been busted after all the sports gambling he's been doing?
stay tuned for the answer to that question in a later time in the future. But thank you so much again to all of our listeners. And please keep the emails coming. They've been so great. Openfloormail@gmail.com. That's openfloormail@gmail.com. Everybody stay safe. Everybody continue to enjoy the NBA season.